the renewal of talks that would lead to a just political solution that is agreed on both sides and not imposed unilaterally. And to support that political process that is so crucial, because right now there is no alternative. It's just brute force. And when people...
We have 10 seconds left, but then we're going to continue the conversation.
When people are fed with the idea that there is no choice but violence, they respond with violence to each other. We need to open an alternative, a political process to end the violence.
We want to thank you both so much for being with us. We're going to do part two and post it online. Avner Vishnitzer, former Israeli commando, and Suleiman Khatib with Combatants for Peace. Thanks for joining us.
You are tuned in to KBOO Portland, 90.7 on your FM dial.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available on our website at kboo.fm. KBOO's Board of Directors meets on the fourth Monday of the month at 6 p.m. This month's meeting will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland and online through a public video conference. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting virtually can be found on our website at kboo.fm. Please visit our website to verify if a meeting is being held.
I'm out to sing songs that'll prove to you that this is your world, and that if it's hit you pretty hard and knocked you down for a dozen loops, no matter how hard it's run you down and rolled over you, no matter what color, what size you are, how you're built, I am out to sing the songs that'll make you take pride in yourself.
I'm Lori Sonnenfeld.
And I'm Don Jacobson.
Together we bring you Moving On, Fridays from 12 noon to 1:30.
We feature both traditional and contemporary folk music.
We love to present live in-studio concerts from local and national musicians.
Tune in and you'll hear music that is socially progressive, moving, and heartfelt.
Music heard only on the left-hand edge of the dial and only on KBOO.
Every Friday, noon to 1:30.
We who believe in freedom cannot
This is Cesar Chavez. You're listening to KBOO, listener-sponsored radio.
Good morning and welcome to More Talk Radio on your community radio station KBOO FM, 90.7 in Portland, 91.9 in Hood River, 104.3 in Corvallis, and via the World Wide Web, it is kboo.fm. We are broadcasting live on this day, the 27th of November, 2023, and it is approximately 8:02 a.m. I am Cecil Prescott, and I thank you for joining us, for tuning in and participating in your community radio station. And as I said, today's the 27th day in November, and for those who are somewhat local here in the Portland metro area, highlight news is that the Portland teachers' strike has come to an end. And after most of November being on strike, I think students miss 11 days of classrooms. The Portland Teachers Union and Portland Public Schools have finally reached an agreement, and schools. Students are returning to schools this morning. A two-hour delay, but we are thankful. I am thankful. Parents are thankful Students are thankful for the opportunity to return to school and hopefully a settlement which all can agree on that is fair and addresses the needs of education in the Portland area. Now, this does not mean that, unfortunately, it does mean that the school year will be extended this year to make up for lost days, beginning, you know, and in a what, two and a half weeks. So the winter break will be delayed a week. I think schools will be in session the week of December 18th to 22nd, and a couple of days will be added during the school year and in June to make up for the days missed. So we're thankful for the opportunity. I'm thankful, and I hope those impacted by the strike are thankful and grateful for the opportunity to return to classroom learning. It's interesting. Just yesterday, I had a conversation with a teacher who's also a parent. This was before the settlement was announced, and she was sharing just how difficult a time it has been for everyone involved, for teachers, for families, and hopefully things are at a place where things, learning can take place, hopefully, and, you know, hang in there, and students and educators, and this is part of a long journey in terms of workers' rights and what public education might mean and will mean. Overcrowded classrooms, classrooms which are, you know, not safe in terms of how they're set up. Hopefully things will be addressed. So, in the news for Portland, Oregon, that's on the top of the headlines. That's what's on my agenda. Celeste, anything striking with you? How was your holiday vacation? Thanks, whatever you call it.
I really just kind of chilled. I'd had a couple of medical procedures, so I wasn't going anywhere. My plans had to change, so I just laxed out. Probably watched too much TV and learned new ways of saying R, like pirates do. That's about it. I was listening to you talk about, you know, the strike, and one of the things that I found interesting about it is how the power of unions is being manifested, but it's not all a rosy picture, and you have in some cases some people who you think would be on the front lines of organizing and trying to coalesce for a guarantee of better working conditions. And then you have the murmurings, I think, on another case of union organizing that I kind of had to question. So the first one was, as you know, unions have made some giant strides in terms of organizing, and stores that traditionally didn't have union representation or were finding themselves facing that kind of coalescence and community. But I was reading about a union at a Trader Joe's where the workers were trying to oust it and they were not happy. And so it made me think, okay, you know, where are we in terms of recognizing the power and holding, you know, holding our ideas firm in terms of trying to organize for working conditions, because if they are successful in decertifying the union, that might send opposite shockwaves. Maybe this is an opposite swing of the pendulum.
Right.
And then there was talk, I've heard talk of another group organizing in hopes of unionizing, but I had to question this. And a lot of us here in Oregon know that our gasoline prices are higher than they are in many parts of the state. And I know that to be true, because when I took my summer cross-country trip, I was surprised at how high our gasoline is. So there was a lot of concern and hopefulness at the thought of us becoming no longer a self-serve state. You know, would that possibly bring the prices down? Because that was one of the excuses given for how high our prices were. And I heard many a person say, yeah, I'll pay a couple of extra cents to not have to pump my gas and smell like gasoline. You know, now I went from here to the Midwest, Missouri, and passed through several states. And our prices, in some places, our prices was as much as $2 more a gallon. And so I'm thinking, yeah, if we were only paying a few cents more, that would make sense. But, you know, once taken, power is rarely given back. It's rarely ceded, and it's the same thing with high prices. And so when we cease to be a self-service state, I know there were some people thinking, well, is there any way to make that price go down? Okay, so when we cease to be self-serve, a lot of people lost their jobs. And I think, you know, one of the frustrations is that, you know, we have a high rate of homelessness here. We have a high cost of lodging here. You know, rents are expensive here. And so we don't need anybody else losing their job. But when I heard that people were considering unionizing to fight to get those jobs back, I had to wonder, okay, is that the approach we should take? You know, because with technological advances, with social economic changes, cultural changes, sometimes jobs are lost, like Cooper Smith, for example.
Like who?
Case in point. Anyway, my thought is that where, you know, was that the right idea to organize, well, to get them the jobs back, or is there something else we should be doing instead to create a better opportunity for jobs, job education, or whatever? Because, well, it didn't seem to me to be the best move, but that's why I want to ask people.
A couple of thoughts. One, since 1983, those in labor unions have decreased radically.
Yes.
Only about 12% of U.S. workers are organized laborers. Mm-hmm. And so while there have been increased organizing in many industries over the past few years, the percentage of workers who are organized are very low. And so we look at the influence that workers have and the power they have or have lost, related to the power of the robber barons that we see who, you know, make the 19th century
robber barons look like wimps.
Yeah, indeed. indeed. So I think workers should organize wherever they can. And, you know, one of the things, whether it's working in gas stations or, you know, did you see the articles? I think we might have talked about this last week, or I had a conversation about this. The articles about how the rebellion against self-checkout counters. And
yeah, we kind of talked a little bit about that a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So, you know,
But here, you know, it's a slightly different thing. I think what I, not so much am I, I'm not attacking the idea of organizing, but I'm wondering if, you know, if sometimes we are approaching things from the wrong direction, because I'm not sure that organizing for those jobs is necessarily in their best interest. I know organizing for any job, but I think what I'm looking at is the health cost. I'm also wondering what is the cost factor that Oregonians will bear, you know, because if there's a gas station, I'm not going to say where, that's charging as much as $2 less a gallon that's self-serve. And a colleague of mine and I had a conversation about it, and I said, well, you know, going in and paying is something that I've been doing since I was, you know, able to drive growing up in Missouri. So that wasn't new to me. And prepaying before you pump wasn't new to me. But, you know, I could see people wanting to take advantage of that. And I'm wondering, okay, with our working class ethos regarding get a job, keep a job, trying to have a job, trying to save jobs, is this where we might run into a little bit of a challenge? You know, if workers are able to some kind of way recreate those jobs and it costs Oregonians more, or Oregonians want to be supportive of that? You know, are they going to look at that and say, maybe this is one of those situations where this is taking a bite out of my ability to live and travel and get to work, you know, and maybe this is where my support might end.
Well,
And it's just one of those many choices we have to make, I know.
And my response often is, it's, you know, simple, you know, follow the money. And who's profiting off of these things? And so going after people who pump gas as, you know, somehow ruining the economy, I'd say, no. And I think the tendency, historic tendency, to blame the workers for the economy and not looking at where the real power and influence lies is a tendency we have. Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. Celeste and I have been talking some, but I think it's also important to hear what some others have to say. So give us a call, 503-231-8187, and let's hear from our first caller this morning. Santiago, how are you this day?
I'm doing well. How about you?
I'm great.
Good. You know, I think it's really important to, I think with the talks about unions, I think people often come to the place of money because, you know, we see people getting paid more and, you know, we wonder like how that, you know, how that's supposed to affect us with, you know, cause everybody else is hurting for money. But I think one of the main things that people don't realize is that, you know, unions are about worker power. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that gets lost a lot in the conversation because, as you know, in a capitalist system, everything boils down to money. We don't consider the social ramifications. Like, people will talk about like cutting workers because it's about the bottom line, but they don't, but they throw the idea of people losing jobs, and because somebody lost a job, there's an income loss. Because there's an income loss, you know, people can't buy stuff. Businesses that normally depend on those people buying stuff lose business, and they call those things externalities, you know, as a way to kind of like, oh, well, you know, the system doesn't see this. But that's the problem, is that, you know, the neoclassical guys will just talk about money as if it's the only thing, when in fact it's not. because we've seen how treating businesses that affect the community on just the bottom line destroys communities. And I think that's, you know, and the union stands in the way of that. You know, it's like, you know, George, there's a economist who once posed the question, like, if the workers in Detroit, you know, knew that their jobs were being shipped overseas, the car manufacturers, do you think if they were the ones in charge of the money that they would have given up those jobs? And the answer is no, you know. But because the people who run the businesses at the top level have a complete disconnect from the people at the bottom, they can make right. choices like that, pat themselves on the back, feel good, but then somehow convince us that our plight is just, well, you know, it's just the way things work. It's like rain. It's like sunshine.
Yeah, right.
You know, but the invisible hand of the market has a puppeteer.
That's true.
You know?
Yeah.
You
well,
know,
it's not even really that invisible nowadays. You
no,
know,
it's
we,
not that
we
invisible.
Just don't
you know,
think it about it, you know, because we see it because it makes it to the news. But you're right. We don't think about it.
Yeah. And I think more importantly, when it comes to gasoline has one of the highest profit markups of any sort of any resource that we use on a regular basis. And the fact that it can fluctuate based on here's the thing about the market. People don't realize it's about feelings. Market is about feelings. They don't look at like, well, you know, maybe, you know, gasoline should cost 30% of the average wage or, you know, should only take up this much percentage of the market. No, the economists teach them, you know, neoclassical economists teach them, well, raise it as high as you can without breaking the market.
Yeah, what the market will bear.
What the market will bear. And we know that in the Midwest, people can't bear a lot because of manufacturing en masse being moved from the Midwest overseas, they can't bear a lot. So it would make sense that in the Midwest,
I'm not sure we're bearing it well here, though. To be perfectly honest,
no, we're not bearing it well here. But we also don't live under that same sort of like there's this Oregon bubble where we have a lot of rich people, a lot of like well-to-do people who do nothing. I mean, people think that you can basically move to Oregon and be like a bird trainer and make $1 million a year. Like, we just have like this weird kind of Portlandia perception of Oregon.
My point though with this is not just, you know, have we run into one of those immovable object and irresistible forces. It's not just that. Because people do flock to Oregon with some unrealistic ideas, or realistic, and their bubbles burst. But we are, you know, you can't say that we are bearing it better because people move here with these ideas, because we have a higher level of homelessness. Okay?
We do, absolutely.
So, you know, a lot of, you know, if there's any evidence to the contrary about people moving here and living in a bubble, is the high level of homelessness that we have up and down the West Coast. You know, I didn't see those levels, and that's one of the advantage about, you know, traveling cross country, is that you actually end up going into little towns and seeing stuff. And yes, there's some little towns that are just dead, but you know, I don't want people to think we're doing so much better here. And
no,
that's why
we're
we
not
can,
doing yeah, better out can, here by any yeah. means.
Yeah, okay.
Well,
you know,
it's like they said that if you took the Western United States and separated it from the rest of the country, that it would be like in the top five, I think the top five GDPs worldwide if it was its own country. So I think that
yeah,
that's kind of
well,
like
California
that we have. Yeah, well, you know, and it's the kind of idea that like if we perceive, like we don't perceive ourselves as a third world country because we have a lot of gilded amenities that make us feel like we're living richer than we are. But in the grand scheme of things, if we really knew how bad the situation was for a lot, you know, for the rest of the U.S., I think it would be I really feel like a lot of it is just kind of we're living under these idealistic ideas, and we have these idealistic kind of like trite phrases. And so,
thank you for your call. We got a bunch of folks lined up here. So thank you for getting the ball rolling.
Mm-hmm. No problem.
You're listening to Your Community Connection, KBOO Portland, 90.7 here in the city, 91.9 if you're in the Columbia River Gorge, and the Willamette River Valley, 104.3, and KBOO.FM everywhere else in the world. This is More Talk Radio. The phone number is 503-231-8187. Now let's go to our next caller. We have a mystery caller on board. Good morning.
Good morning. I just wanted to pay homage to this program. I get my five C's every Monday when I listen. The C's meaning the level of detail that you two folks bring to the airwaves is just astounding to me, and I'm learning so much. And the other four C's, of course, would be Cecil Charles and Celeste Carey. We love you guys. You guys are legendary, and I'm not saying that as an accolade. I'm saying that as a fact and a data point, because Cecil started the show off at 33 RPMs, and here we are at 78 now. And I just really appreciate the level of detail on this strike and some of your callers bringing their content expertise to the discussion. So thank you for being there, and we will continue to listen. Thank you.
Well, thank you for being a stalwart listener, and we appreciate our listeners keeping us on our toes, you know, so that we feel that connection and feel that desire to fill, as in F-I-L-L in this case, that desire to share information to help us make good decisions. We'll go to our next caller, Joan. Good morning. You're on there.
Good morning. And once again, thank you for your program, because I just turned it on and I thought, oh, I must. Another interesting topic that's so important. Okay. Well, you mentioned homelessness.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty clear to me. I'm lucky to have a union job. But there's no way that people, and I believe in unions,
mm-hmm.
And there's no way that people can keep unionizing and organizing for higher wages and still win this stupid game. It is a game.
Oh, yeah.
Because they've got everybody. I mean, because no matter how much you earn, your rent is going to keep going up.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as the worker gets a raise, how much has the rent gone up? How much? Everybody knows this. I talked to, you know, a person who works in the bank who's you know, management level. That guy wants to buy a house. He can't afford to buy a house. It's like an ordinary house.
Yeah, but it's not a big house or wonderful house. Right. It's just a house.
Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, people come into the state with money, and they buy up 40 houses and rent them out. There's a problem here. The houses are not taken care of particularly, or maybe they are and they're flipped and there goes the neighborhood. There's no way that people can keep up with this game. And it's managed by investments. And I, you know, have a small little mutual fund. I might have mentioned this before. And I looked at that fund one day and noticed that part of what I was invested in was real estate. Hello. And I looked up the name of this company that was in my little mutual fund, and it's one of these rip-off land grab places that's buying up Oregon,
mm-hmm.
which is being mm-hmm. sold to the highest bidder as we speak.
Yes.
And I thought there should be a billboard. I'd love to see a giant billboard when people come in from the airport saying Oregon, and it's got this picture of Mount Hood and the beautiful trees and everything, and underneath it says, is not for sale.
Yes.
But it has been for sale for quite a while. And there, how do you deal with this? I mean, in some countries like Mexico, I believe, or the way it used to be, if you had $1 billion, you couldn't just go into Mexico and buy up a town. You know, there were laws against that.
Well, there used to be laws against it here, and there's laws against it in other countries, you know, limiting what your purchase power. But, you know, money talks.
Money talks, that's right. Now, let's say you're homeless and you think, Oregon sucks, I'm getting out of here. Where are you going to go? They don't want us in Canada,
mm-mm.
tell you that much.
Mm-mm.
Where are you going to go? You're going to go, well, maybe Portland is just too big a city, I'll go to a little town. Forget it. You've got to get some kind of job. You'll take any job. Why do people work for Amazon, by the way? Why do people buy from Amazon?
That in and of itself is a conversation. I have a friend whose child works there because, and this is an adult child with children, she gets great benefits. She hates the night shift, and it doesn't work out because she's got a special needs child. But she loves the benefits, and that job keeps her tied to it, even though she's not making a whole lot of money. She was also able to rent a late model hybrid car very, very cheap. And I'm thinking, okay, well, you know, this person has a bachelor's in nursing, and prefers working Amazon sometimes to some of the nursing gigs because of the benefits and how soon they kicked in. Isn't that amazing?
Well, you know, as a way to buy employees, I understand.
Oh, yeah.
Talk about Amazon, but I understand. Uh-huh. In some places, they even have set up, like, giant parking lots where people who live in their cars can, in their vans or their can live. You know, what's the difference between that and the people who used to work in these coal mines,
right,
where they would give food and lodging for them?
Company towns.
Yeah. Or well, you know, we had one of them that are here. It was called Vanport. Yeah, you know, truth be told.
Right. And then what happened to Vanport? And, I mean, you want to look at what happened to the Native Americans. I'm going to get maybe a little radical here. It's happening to everybody now.
Mm-hmm.
They want your land.
Yeah.
They want, you know, and who are they? Well, who are they? I mean, and look who's the real estate magnate? Who's the guy that symbolizes this real estate rape business? His name begins with a D and it ends in a T.
Okay, I'm not sure I know who it is, but I can appreciate
the former president of the United States.
Right.
He's in real estate. I mean, if you can't have you got to have a place to live, or else you'll be like those unfortunate people out there, and you don't want to be like them, right? Mm-hmm. So you better pull the line. You better get in. You know what I mean? And a union job. Well, at least we can work for higher wages, but a small business can't afford to keep up with the real estate market. There's no way that you could do that. And meanwhile, you look in Portland and these cute little businesses that I love to buy from, they're going out of business. And people are buying online. I mean, we're sort of, in a way, we're enabling... By buying into the bread and circuses, we're enabling our own ripoff, or else we're trying to swim in it and surf through it. Because
participating in it, yeah, yes.
I are you still there? I'm not sure.
Yes, we're still here. Thank you.
My little phone. I mean, in a way, we're being forced into a kind of. We're either being forced into, or we're being lured into some kind of lifestyle that is not working. I mean, how high can the rents go? They're too damn high.
I don't think they care. To circle back to where you were at the beginning, I don't think they care.
No, it's not. You could be paying your rent. Or I once suffered through a no cause eviction. It's not that I couldn't pay the rent, or even that the rent was too high. It's that there's. People have a certain amount of power.
Yeah.
And if you can't have a place to live and your only alternative is to be on the street, you're going to have to compromise somewhere. Yeah. And I talk about third world countries. Yes, we've got our own version of it. We're in the belly of the beast. But it's all over. Where can you move where you can afford to live? So they've got us, really.
Yeah.
And I do think that worker-owned co-ops and so on are the name of where it's at. But, you know, striking is a good thing, because at least that's one way that people have power over the machine. Okay, we'll stop it. Nope, you can't pay us to do this. You mm-hmm. simply can't pay us to do this. We won't do it, period. Go pump the gas yourself. Go work in the restaurant yourself. You know, meanwhile, the guy who owns the restaurant, he's just trying to make it like everybody else. the cab drivers. I always take a cab, not an Uber. What kind of a job is an Uber driver? That's not a job. You know
well,
what I mean?
You know, well, thank you for your call. You've brought up some great points. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you for allowing me to rant. Bye-bye.
Okay.
It is good to rant at times. I think it's important to share what we're feeling, and it's good to say what's important to you. You are listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO FM. Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. This is More Talk Radio with Celeste. I am Cecil. And we began our conversation this morning by just some observation about workers' conditions. We began by focusing on the settlement of the Portland teacher strike and what that means. We had some observations from callers and from the hosts here about what it is that we are struggling with, what does it mean to organize, and how is it possible, a question for me from the conversations I heard is, how is it possible or is it ever possible to wrestle power from a machine that seems unwilling or unable to give up power? And in spite of everything, the fight continues. Perhaps you have some thoughts about this. Give us a call, 503-231-8187, and talk about how you find yourself able to resist and to find ways in which workers, ordinary people have power. Ordinary people have power. Celeste, is it possible for people to organize, to not give up the struggle, to not be discouraged when it seems, as the last caller mentioned, it goes on and on and on, and she, you know, talking about the cost of housing. You just can't seem to win.
I'm not sure of the question. I'm not sure that there's an answer. I don't have one. I'm not even going to pretend, you know, because I, like I said at the beginning, I'm still wondering if there's a better thing for us to be doing for people who are seeking to organize to preserve their gas station jobs. And I'm thinking, well, you know, the writing is on the wall, and it seems to me that we are fighting for crumbs when maybe because we got nothing to lose, we ought to be fighting for higher stakes, you know, because I mean, and yes. I'm wrestling with this. So folks, don't take me to task because it sounds like I don't care about folks. I'm just wrestling with how should I support the people who have lost their jobs at some of these gas stations when what they're fighting for is a minimum wage job that comes with a lot of hazards? Should I be fighting for them to have opportunities for something better and healthier? If so, how? Mm-hmm. You know, because I'm trying to wrap my mind around it. I'm, you know, some of the people who I used to see and, you know, chat with and, yes. you know, wish that they have a good day or, you know, say, I hope you stay dry or stay cool. Just something to humanize or exchange,
yes.
you know, and the jobs are gone, you know, and there's a part of me that says, well, I want to do something for you, but is that the best use of whatever meager power I have to fight for you to get this bad job back, or can I fight for something better? And then how? You know, and then listening, you know, to our callers who have explained, well, you know, this it above all else, it's a shell game, because the, you know, underneath the shell, you think there might be the chance for a better job, but it might be nothing under all three of those shells, you know, what's really going on. And so I find myself caught in this conundrum of wanting to do something meaningful but not knowing what where the head of the monster is, where's the heart of the monster? Monster got seven heads, you know, seven headed mm-hmm. hydra. You know, where's the heart? How do I strike at the heart? Do it have a heart? Mm, all of that. All of that. You know, and so the conversation becomes kind of deep. Yes. You know, there's one of my neighborhood pharmacies where I pick up, you know, medications and stuff, and they're closing in a few days, and I'm looking in the eyes of the staff there. You know, they want to say it's theft or whatever, and you know, and I'm thinking, how do I do something? You know, because I can't say, well, I'm going to pray for you, because you know, it's kind of like, well, I'm sending good thoughts. You know, what is it actually? How do we do something about this? So, you know, and I know a lot of people are going to say, girl, I don't have an answer either.
Well,
but at least we're coming together and putting our heads together and figuring something out.
And I think that's the beginning of the answer, mm-hmm. Putting our heads together. And mm-hmm. the answer is to organize.
Yeah.
Let's see what our caller has to say. Tangent, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, how are you guys? I wanted to just start with, because this term just came up, and there's a lot of them floating around there, but the one is, we're in the belly of the beast. Well,
mm-hmm.
you're in the belly of the beast, you're being digested.
Yep.
And I would rather be in the big toe, little toe of the beast. Maybe I could stub their toe, you know.
I don't know if we can do that, though, but
way.
I hear you.
No, but
I hear you.
Just don't keep using the same phrases. Okay, mm-hmm. so here I want to do, well, here's another phrase. And this is how the media is all centered on business and rich folk, and they'll say things like windfall profits or windfall profits tax. But a windfall is when you have a heavy wind and a bunch of apples would fall out of the tree, okay? And I don't even know if that was such a good thing, because then a lot of them would get bruised, I would think. But they try to use a natural term and apply it to business, like it's just something that, you know, happened. When it's speculation, when the war in Ukraine started, gas prices went up. Not because any of that gas that was cost more had actually got here, no, which we'll just scam right now.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of things. One is, I noticed this a few years ago, but it doesn't take a lawyer to get you married, but you have to have one to get divorced. It's rarely done otherwise. And it takes a sheriff to evict you, but imagine if you needed a sheriff to rent a home. Would things be different?
Okay.
Okay. I'm like, okay, so yeah. I mean, I think I get your point. You know, is that we've got some odd power dynamics going on.
Yes.
You know, I see what you're getting at. Okay.
Okay. So what I'm getting at is we're trained from a very early age to think that Congress people and senators are very powerful and important. And life just couldn't happen without them, and the judges, you know, would never lie. It's like, you look at this gun control thing passed, and one judge says it's okay, and then some judge out in Harney County or whatever says, no, I say it's not okay. Now it's got to sit another year somewhere in court. But that can't be a law if one guy who's had the same training and experience, what have you, years on the bench, can just say no.
Well, you know, and a sheriff should not, who is sworn to uphold the law, should then not turn around and not uphold the law. So, I mean, I hear what you're saying. We're full of these conundrums and these controversies and these.
But they're manufactured. It's like Noam Chomsky manufacturing consent, or I would maybe deceit or something. But here's one. This is a famous quote, and this is supposed to be so funny. And I think it was Thurgood Marshall said that you could he could get a grand jury indictment against a ham sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, a ham sandwich could only be guilty of lunch, possibly. But if that's true, then that says that the DA is lying. Okay, they have the power and they lie, and they manipulate phrases and make it sound 10 times. They charge you with 5 things, right?
So
and get it down to one or what it is.
Yeah, so one thing I understand that you are saying that I think others might want to comment on is the role of power and to have conversations, we must recognize the influence and the power dynamics that take place and take that into account, so that it's easy for me to have some sort of philosophical discussion about what's the meaning of life.
Mm-hmm.
But if you actually have your foot on my throat, that conversation is meaningless. So let's talk about the power.
I would like to point out one thing is that we're told that they are power, that they have power, and they show it. They have the guns, and they'll use them. But what I want to say is I went to a Seabrook, New Hampshire anti-nuclear rally back in the 80s or 78 or something, and a lot of people were wearing this button that said QA. And I said, what's that, question answer? And he goes, no, question authority.
Mm-hmm.
So do they really? Now, here's another phrase.
Well.
Okay, you got more people. That's fine, but.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, yeah. I appreciate what you're saying is that we really should be scrutinizing not only how we categorize things, because that might indicate that we're kind of giving in to our brainwashing and, you know, picking up the role of servitude, you know, that the powers that be give us. I hear what you're saying, you know, and I appreciate the fact that what you're saying is what I call debraining, you know, debraining pointers. In other words, what I mean is resisting debraining pointers. You know, you're telling us think and fight back, you know, or as George Clinton used to say, think it ain't illegal yet.
Deconstruct the English language. Listen up, I have one little thing I'd like to say.
Well, we got somebody else on the line.
Do not listen to another politician. Listen to Greta Thunberg. Blah, blah, blah. Peace on earth. Amen.
All right. You're listening to Your Community Connection, KBOO Portland, 90.7 here in the city, where we hit quite a few places. We started out talking about labor unions, organizing, the struggles of labor and trying to figure out how much power we actually have with, you know, organizing. And we talked about the Portland Teachers Union and some of the achievements or concessions that came out of that dynamic. And then I brought up something, you know, I'm gonna spin it on his head, that's just me, you know, the fact that, you know, unions are not the end all be all for some people, because you got this Trader Joe's in Massachusetts that's trying to decertify the union because they said the union wasn't doing what they said they would do. And then the efforts at trying to unionize to save jobs, which may be obsolete, but what are we going to do? Because doggone it, an obsolete job is better than none at all, you know. And anyway, join in the conversation. The number is 503-231-8187, and we'll go to our next caller. Thanks for holding, Francis.
Hi. My father was a union leader, so I think that way. But the unions do more than just raise wages. They also guarantee good working conditions and hours of work and all of that. And they're important for people's well-being and the workers' well-being. And I think that, you know, the federal minimum wage right now is $7.25.
Right. Say that again.
Say that again.
Federal minimum wage is $7.25.
Yep.
People that work for tips, their minimum wage is $2.13, and with their tips, it has to add up to $7.25.
Right.
But
and people, Oregon, who drive Uber, Oregon, are doing the best they can. That's why it's a job.
Mm-hmm. Right. I know someone who drives Uber, and they're very good at it, you know, and it's a way to make some money. And I'm of the belief that if you can't afford to pay a person a living wage, then maybe you shouldn't be in business if you have to hire somebody. If you have to hire people to help you do your business, then you need to be able to pay them a living wage. Mm. Otherwise, don't hire them. or don't be in business. I mean, that's the bottom line. But what Oregon's minimum wage is only $14.20. And I want to know where in this state someone can afford to pay the rent now, making $14.20 an hour.
Well, I don't think there's too many places, if any, that no place right. that's quality.
So unions yeah. are, to me, that's why unions are on the return, is because people need them.
And people,
for some reason, our government doesn't think people need to make more than $7.25 an hour. I don't understand that.
And I think one thing that you're saying is that people need them, and they recognize that I alone cannot fight this battle.
Mm-hmm.
That and it shouldn't be a fight. That's my
that's
point.
Right. That's right.
It should not be a fight. Our elected representatives in Congress should have already been raised the minimum wage to $20. But they don't recognize the value of workers, and that's why unions exist, to make sure that their value is recognized. And I don't, if a union isn't doing what they said they were going to do, then they shouldn't be there. Mm-hmm. Trader Joe's, the people at that Trader Joe's should get a different union.
Yeah, well,
period.
You know,
I mean, it's not necessary that there should not be a union. It should be one that follows through on what it says it's going to do. Because there are, my brother had ran into this before he retired. There are people working in unions now who kind of consider themselves management representatives rather than workers' representatives. So there's that going on too. So if you've got a good union leader like the man that is leading the auto workers right now, then good for you.
Very good.
Yeah.
All right. You guys take care.
Hey, thank you so much, Frances. And you have a good day. And you're listening to More Talk Radio on your community radio station, KBOO FM 90.7. Today is Monday. The day is the 27th of November. Isn't it? Yes, it is the 27th of okay, I just want to make sure.
I'm only laughing because that has been what the challenge of me is like. In some ways, I kind of let the days go. It's like, you know, I got automatic withdrawal on my meager account to take care of anything. I don't need to remember any dates anymore. What's going on?
And that's another thing I might want to talk about. But first, let's hear what our caller has to say.
Good morning, Arthur.
Good morning. You got me. You can't see it, but you got me smiling on the phone. Yeah, I get. Francis made a lot of good points. The previous caller. Let me give you a quick background. Then I'll give you a point, and then I'll follow up with something more positive. Here we go. I'm 57. I've lived in a tent in Portland for 1 year. I now sleep in a mattress on my best friend's floor.
Well, thank you, Lord, because that living in a tent is not it.
There you go. I've got a degree in mathematics. I used to teach high school and junior college.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, I want to get back to what Francis was referring to. Minimum wage in Portland is roughly $16 an hour. That's net. No, that's gross.
Right.
Net, it turns out to be about 12. So $4 of that 16 goes mostly to the U.S. military, so they can have 800 military bases around the world. That's the truth. Okay, here's a little thing about unions. I wish KBOO would do a little expose on this issue. Five libraries, public libraries, shut down simultaneously in this city. Simultaneously, not one at a time to ease the burden on society, but shut down simultaneously. And so I talked to one of the librarians at the downtown library, I can't name her, it was about to be shut down, and supposedly all these librarians were transferred to the remaining branches. I know that's not true, because I go to the other remaining branches, and I don't see any of the old librarians there from the other shutdown libraries. And this woman was very meek. You know, librarians have a lot of them are sort of, they love books. And she very meekishly came up and she said, I don't like what they're doing here. I don't know what they're going to do with all these books. And she was quiet because she knew if she spoke up, she would lose a job. So a lot of union, these union busting techniques.
Well, you know these libraries are going to open up, though, don't you?
Shut up.
You know the libraries are going to open up. They're just closed for renovation.
Well, in the case of Holgate Library, it's completely, they flattened the library to the ground.
They might be rebuilding it because a lot of the libraries are I mean, they're hiring people and, you know, some folks who wanted to leave.
Oh, yeah,
I'm not saying it's perfect. I'm just saying they didn't close them down, and it's not a conspiracy. They're rebuilding some of them because they got a major bond.
That we voted on
to renovate them. So, yeah.
I didn't vote on them.
Well.
I didn't vote on that bond, but maybe I voted by accident. But let me give you something positive here. And then I know I want you guys
to listen. We got another call.
Here we go. I think moms reading to their children is probably the best way to steer this country into a positive future. Just mothers reading to their children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. Thank you very much.
Yeah, please.
All right.
And before I go and read to my child, let's go to our next.
Well, I was going to say, how are you going to read to your child? Because you got to work 20 hours because you only making $2 and 3 cents an hour.
That's right.
Anyway, let's go to our caller. Thank you for holding, Joe.
Oh yeah. So I really did like the point about the breakdown of the wage and. You know, gross versus net, and what that money went towards. My point is we have no health care. It's not given to us. It's not a right in America, in the U.S. of A. And people cannot get unhealthy because they have to work 2-3 jobs in order to pay rent and have insurance. And it's kind of like a prison, basically, when people cannot enjoy the benefits of their labor because they're just always working in order to pay for the basic. Well, they're not even able to pay for the basic things because if they do not have health care, they have to pay for that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there is something to say about living paycheck to paycheck, and if you lose a paycheck, you basically do go to the street, and once you go to the street, you can't get off the street because people won't hire you because you don't have an address.
Yes.
Yep.
It's just horrible what's happening in the United States of America. It's just inhumane, as far as I'm concerned. And I feel so sad and sorry. I benefited from working a union job. I have a pension now. When I had my union job, I was happy to pay my dues because they provided health insurance for me.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, I took my health seriously. And when I was injured on the job, I did not get fired. I was given treatment and slowly brought back to work as I recovered. And that's humane. That's thoughtful kindness. A good way to run a business. Treat your workers well.
Very good.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. The question is, you know, what kind of leverage, and how do we leverage them into doing just that?
I don't know who it was, but probably a few years ago now, there was some man. I'm a KBOO supporter, listener for decades now. he said general strike, which, you know, I'm not quite sure, you know, really how a person could do that. But I also read alternative news, of course, the internet. But in Europe, it's not just 10,000 people that show up to make a point, but hundreds of thousands of people when some unjust thing is done by a government.
Well, there it is. Maybe, you know, that's what the answer is. But unfortunately, we're out of time, so we'll have to put looking for the rest of the answer on the shelf until next time.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much for your contribution to democracy.
Well, thank you for calling and taking advantage. And we want to thank everybody who has supported your community connection, KBOO Portland, because it's all about conversation, supporting democracy, being informed, getting to the truth. And all of those are things that your KBOO Portland does. Support us, listen, tell friends and family, share. And, you know, this is the beginning of the week. As you can, smile and share that smile and give a smile to somebody else. All right. Stay tuned. We have coming up at 9 o'clock the Old Mole Variety Hour with news, views, and reviews you can use.
You're listening to KBOO Portland.
On the next episode of Voices for the Animals, we'll look into the case of a goat, a girl, and the rise of more compassionate and humane alternatives to 4-H agricultural programs. We'll be speaking with Danielle Hanisch, Executive Director of LEAP, Leaders for Ethics, Animals, and the Planet. It's a program that offers students the farm animal care experience and opportunities of 4-H without the selling of those animals for slaughter, which can traumatize many kids.
These kids were, you know, 14, 15, 16 years old and just realizing, like someone flipped a switch, that, oh my gosh, these animals are no different than my dogs and cats at home. And now I'm knee-deep in this program and I don't think that there's another option and I have to betray my friend who I have cared for.
We've got your goat. On the next Voices for the Animals, Friday, November 24th at 10 a.m., right here on 90.7 KBOO FM.